Today, my guest is Bernard Acetuno, who is the co-founder of Stack AI. Welcome, Bernard, to the podcast.
Thank you, my Roger. A pleasure to be here.
We always start off with that very important question, which is, why do you do what you do?
Absolutely good question, Roger. Well, to go back to the why, I have to return 12, 15 years in the past when I started really working in AI. You know, back in 2014, when I started first doing my first research project, the notion of why artificial intelligence is so important has been in the minds of computer scientists and scientists for a while, is that we are building a new layer in which now people can interact with computers, where we're no longer just submitting for the computer to come and do a structure operations over with very prescribed logic, where we give it the precise instructions on what to do. AI really is a change of paradigm. It's a change of paradigm where systems are able to make decisions on their own, are able to operate with data that is unstructured, are able to operate without precise instructions on what to do, and rather figure out through experience and to proper understanding of how patterns exist, what happens there. Now, that's a big preamble for why did I start working in AI, but the idea is that over the years, there's always been a promise that we will have systems that will be able to do this in a general fashion. And in 2017, with the invention of the transformer, we saw for the first time the advent of the potential for models that could, based on language, predict and understand the world, even if it was at a small scale back then. You know, there were other systems that were production more accurate, but were operating at a very small scale. With the transformer, we managed to scale this, and this led to the entire revolution of large language models, from the invention of GPT from OpenAI, Bird from Google, then GPT-3, which was the first proper large language models we know them today, all the way to now where we are, where we have the, you know, ChatGPT, where we have Llama from Meta, where we have Claude from Anthropic. And these language models finally fulfill the mission and this vision of we're going to have a system that by understanding text and language is able to have a proper understanding of the world, be able to reason to make decisions, be able to reason to summarize information or to synthesize information in a particular fashion. When these models arise, it was clear that they will have all this potential to transform industries because they can be an engine, almost as a brain, that can, by connecting with external systems like databases, knowledge bases, applications of software, automate and basically consolidate all of the logical workflows that exist through an organization, through which had always been a challenge to automate because not everything that we do in our lives has exact prescribed logic. It has a lot of nuance. It has a lot of unstructuredness to it. And language models allows to bypass that. When we decided, me and my co-founder, to launch Stack AI, when we were PhD students at MIT, our vision was that noticing that this technology was arising, we wanted to build something that could enable organizations to harness its power and connect it to the right tools so that it could go and impact the organization.
So you're passionate about using the new technology and helping people apply it actually just directly through language, right? Not through coding, but through language directly. And you're excited at bringing that to organizations and to people so that they can do things faster and more efficient and grow into the future leveraging AI.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, with Stack AI, what is the use case that you solve for?
Yeah. Stack AI, you know, just to give us more introduction for those who don't know, is a software that allows companies to design their own custom AI agents. AI agents are basically what I mentioned before, systems that have a language model at its core, but which can plan to execute actions in order to complete tasks by retrieving data from databases, writing to structured sources, go and find information online, put it together into reports, structure it, and from it take decisions on it, you know, so that they can take an action with it, you know, go and make a summary, whatnot. The first family of use cases that are super relevant are knowledge management use cases. There's so much work inside of organizations that is, you know, figuring out the answer to a question, knowing where is the resource that will help you find something, knowing what is the answer to a particular request, knowing where something lives, knowing what's the precise procedure. And language models excel at this process of connecting to a large repository of data, let's say a SharePoint or a Google Drive, and easily retrieving the right information, giving you a description of what's the answer and doing so. Potentially connected to a web, connected to a database or a data warehouse like Snowflake so that they can do analytics, operations over it, and, you know, overall provide insight. The second flavor of email is very popular is that related to data structuring, meaning receiving unstructured data in the form of financial reports, filings, requests, invoices, receipts, documents that have no structure, just images or PDFs. And from there, using language models as a tool that can understand them, look at knowledge of how your company should process them, and from it, extract the relevant data, make decisions over it. Underwrite claims, underwrite credit requests, you know, verify a reimbursement request, and from it, make decisions over it, to approve them, decline them, give request summaries, figure out missing information, flag violations to compliance, and make a decision, send an alert, approve, send an email, etc. That's very common, working with unstructured data and structuring it and making decisions for it. And the final set of workflows that are very valuable are those related to knowledge synthesis, meaning content synthesis, where you take a combination of both workflows that can look at a large repository of data, the web, your SharePoint, Google Drive, manage that unstructured data, and from it, combine information from it and synthesize reports, summaries, memos, insights out of it that can be valuable for an agent, for an individual in the company. Those three families of uses are very valuable, and through them, if you think about these three morphologies of how AI can be applied, you're really thinking about probably 80% of the jobs people have out there. And if you can successfully apply these technologies to the common use cases your organization will have, you can significantly transform how AI, how operations are made in a way in which is much more scalable, much more efficient, less prone to error, and in a way in which you make every single member of your organization 10 times more efficient than what it is today.
So, three flavors of the types of agents that you can build, but overall, the Stack AI platform allows you to do that with no code, right? You can basically tell it in words what you want it to do, and you can point it to different data sources, but there is no coding knowledge required to use your platform. Is that right?
Absolutely. You don't have to code. You don't need to be a programmer. You need to understand just how your business works and what the process look like, and map those processes into steps of find data from SharePoint, give it to OpenAI, give it, ask it to write a summary, find this online, give it to Claude, ask it to compare it. Then, you know, with that, write to a database, etc. But be able to map those workflows into multiple steps by understanding very deeply how your organization operates.
That is very powerful. So to me, it almost feels like a summer intern. If I can explain to them what they need to do, go get this, then do that with it, and then do that with it, and then check this, and then put it in this folder. Like if that's done online, basically an agentic AI can do it, right? If you can describe it, Stack AI can build the agentic AI.
You hit the nail with that analogy. I love it.
You know? Right.
It's your the ultimate summer intern.
Who never goes away after the summer. Right? Doesn't go away after the summer. That's good too.
That's the vacation. Yeah.
So how do your customers, when you talk to them and they're using the platform, how do they describe the value they get out of it? What are the things that they say about it?
There's multiple dimensions of value that you care about. The number one is that before they will have thought of AI as this abstract concept, something that, you know, you see, you know, on the images of programmers, almost with this dramatic image of the Matrix with zeros and ones flying in the air. What's AI? And then find a platform or find an interface that maps it into a very intuitive understanding of, oh, I just need to load data here, summarize it here, put it here, and put it into these steps. And now I can harness AI for this problem in a way that is much more solvable. Stack AI is a surprise value by enabling organizations that don't have the deep understanding of how AI agents work and how to design them, which is really state-of-the-art, you know, technology that basically has only become available over the past year. And provide business leaders, IT leaders, which understand their organizations very well, with the tools to then shape the organization with AI and then apply it to AI, reducing the investment they need to bring this technology and reducing their dependency into hardcore development.
And so what do they say once they get their hands on it? Like once you've trained them and they've created one or two agents, what are usually the words that they use?
Now, the first one is that, wow, this was very easy. The second one is I didn't expect that this information could be so easily accessible and that they will have the ability to very quickly map all these workflows together. Of course, there's challenges. You need to be able to prioritize what use cases are more important, what use cases have the most value, and, you know, which ones are easier to implement. But once you set that up and you build a strategy to tackle one by one and you find the use case and distribute to your company, the response is, you know, immediate. I never imagined I could automate this task in the past. And now I find a software that does it by using this technology.
Yeah, so it's a great way to get started for people that haven't gotten started with AI, because it is very easy, right? If you can think about how to put it into words, you can actually build your own agentic AI. Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking, which is thinking out what possible futures could look like. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but we can think about a possible future. I'd love to get your thoughts on, if we think out 2035, 10 years from now, what could a possible future look like? And what role does agentic AI play in it?
Well, for me, it's very hard to imagine a future where AI agents are not just pervasive across all aspects of our lives. Just like it's very hard to imagine a present where the internet is not there or the electricity is not there.
Yeah, right.
I think of AI agents as a key membrane that will enable us to interact with data, information, and knowledge in a single place that will exist in between steps at every layer of knowledge and operations. I think that every single job will have AI tools as a core component of it in a way that will almost look, it almost feel imperceivable by us. You will just assume it's there. It will be so pervasive, I'm so prevalent, I permeate every single aspect of life so much that every time that we send a message, call someone, there will always be a layer of AI there that will facilitate a transaction of information. Every time we want to search for something, every time that we look to find something, every time we look to get something done, ideally, not just in, back office operations, but in science, in research, in education, everywhere, it will be a key part of the way that we interact and share information and work with them with access to it, to make decisions and to, essentially bring ideas and, information to the world.
So it will be pervasive. It will be everywhere. AI will be in, and AI agents will be in everything. Now, if that is the future that we're going towards, what can people do today to get ready for that type of future?
I would say that there's many things people can prepare for that. Maybe 10 years in the future is a very high image to, extrapolate when thinking about how the world is today. But something very, tangible is that you can achieve towards getting there is, first, understand very well and be very tuned into what can AI do with the current technology. Understanding very well what AI models can do, what do they work well at, where can they work, and be in tune with how they improve over time. Because that will give you a good idea of how much can they be applied to specific tasks. Secondly, if you're a business owner or you run a big organization that has a plethora of back offices, there's never been a better or more important time to bring AI than today. Now it's very important you take tools that can allow your teams, even if they're not technical, to leverage AI, even in the highest degrees. I think it's very important that people are aware that they can start small. You can start by very simple processes, small processes that, can be part of someone's job, can be part of, a team thing, but which you identify following one of these categories and then bring an AI agent that can help you there for something very simple. And as you start with something small and you can automate that or augment that, then expand slowly to similar areas in different lines of business. When I look at some of our most successful clients, Nubank, Smart Asset, LifeMD, I look at how they always started bringing in agents with one specific line of business for something very specific. Whether if it was an AI assistant that could help answer questions on risk, or if it was a system that could allow patients to easily find summaries of their status and next steps, or if it was a system that could, easily help you find the right blog post for writing marketing materials and summarizing them, that was a small step that then allowed them to better understand what the technology is capable of and how you can get the most out of it. And eventually build upon that to bring AI agents to the next stage, where you start outsourcing key processes to them and they start owning larger and larger pieces of organization. And as you go through that future, you're going to get to a point where your organization will be AI ready. But starting small is the key.
The first step is get started, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Try something small and then go step by step. And then you'll get the hang of it. If you start with something small, it's also manageable. You're not boiling the ocean immediately, but you start with a small thing and then you realize, hey, this is what it does. And you probably get better over time because you get better at defining what it is that you want from an agentic AI. And then bit by bit, you're doing the whole big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was great. That's probably a good point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Bernard, for being on the podcast.
Anytime. Thank you, Rodger. A pleasure chatting with you. I'm looking forward to coming back soon.
Yeah. And Cheers. Until next time, choose to be curious.